so dynamic, so magnetic, so effervescent, so full of energy and vitality.
Is it Herman?
No.
Is it Sherman?
No.
Is it Eddie? Is it Freddie?
Oh, no, no, no.
Is it Hart? Is it Shatner? Is it Marx, perhaps?
Oh, you'll never, never guess it. Don't snap your cap.
It's just Miss Judy Garland.
Here's the little gal who's earned a number one priority in your pinup department, both in your barracks wall and in your heart, Judy Garland.
Clang, clang, clang went the trolley. Ding, ding, ding went the bell. Zing, zing, zing went my heartstrings. From the moment I saw him, I fell.
Hey, everyone. This is Mindy. Thanks for tuning in to another episode of Old Time Radio. Next in our Judy Garland series is her performance on The Command Performance, originally aired on June 18th, 1942. As always, Command Performances have a long list of entertainers that are usually either iconic or very much deserving to be heard, and this is no exception. We have William Powell, Martha Tilton, George Jessel, among others, including Gene Autry. This is the first time Gene Autry has popped up in any of the shows I've been able to introduce, so I was excited to hear that. And I'm not the only one. If you listen as they are introducing him, you hear a bit of a stirring in the audience. I always love that. They were so excited to hear. It's like, ah, Gene Autry, superstar, singing cowboy. So he comes on and sings Jingle, Jangle, Jingle. And it gave me an opportunity to kind of read up a little more about him. I knew very little, just the stuff that pretty much everybody knows. And maybe everybody knows everything I'm about to say. But I actually did not know that he wrote Here Comes Santa Claus. He was the first to record Frosty the Snowman, which he did with the Cass County Boys. And then he took Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer to number one in Christmas of 1949. He wasn't the first to record it. I believe he was the second to, and made it a huge, huge Christmas staple that it is. Again, this was broadcast in 1942, and that's the year that Gene Autry enlisted in the military to serve in World War II. And he was a tech sergeant and later became a pilot for the U.S. Army Air Corps. So adding a deeper respect to what I already knew about him, he was seemingly an upstanding, fantastic, all-American kind of guy. So really fun reading about him. I was happy to hear him pop up in this. And then, of course, Judy, the reason why we're here. The troops had requested that she sing Minnie from Trinidad. If you're familiar with the song, you know that you're going to be singing the song for probably 3 or 4 days after you hear it again. It's one of the numbers that she did in Ziegfeld Girl. That's the first time I heard it was watching that movie. And this was not too long ago, actually. So when it came up again, I was like, here we go. Like, I knew it was coming. You'll hear it if you haven't heard it yet. You'll hear what I'm saying. It's just a fun song. I can see why anyone would have requested that. Behind the scenes, she was wrapping up her work on Me and My Gal, which was a big hit at the end of 1942. It would be released in October of that year. This is generally regarded as her first mature role. She's part of a vaudeville duo that is kind of embarking on their professional journey at the start of World War I. There's a lot of kind of drama involved along the way. This is also noted because it is the film debut of Gene Kelly, who had already established himself as a Broadway star. Judy was apparently very supportive of the casting of Gene Kelly, and she was supportive of him on set and was teaching him ways to kind of transition from that Broadway style of acting to a cinematic style, project his voice and all the little tweaks that transition usually takes. And she was also supportive of him whenever he would raise issues or concerns with the director, whom she did not like. So it was double bonus for her anytime she had a chance to support him in that regard. Also, kind of overlapping, she started working on the movie presenting Lily Mars. So again, the full steam ahead Judy Garland Express that she was in for so many years. Again, these Command Performance broadcasts were just full of life and music and humor. There's so much great energy that comes from listening to these, and I think you're going to enjoy this one. Again, Gene Autry and Judy Garland, I mean, how can you go wrong there, right? So I hope you enjoy this 1942 Command Performance.
Thank you. Performance USA, the greatest entertainers in America, as requested by you, the fighting men of the United States Armed Forces throughout the world. Command Performance, presented this week and every week, till it's over, over there. Okay there, men, drag up a shortwave radio and sit down beside that favorite program of yours from that favorite nation of yours to hear the Hollywood stars who are standing beside you fellas who are standing beside the stars in Old Glory. Let's get rolling now with a man who will keep them rolling on Command Performance tonight, the man who's received soldiers' mail from wherever you soldiers are, your master of ceremonies, Mr. William Powell.
Thank you, Paul Douglas. And hello, fellows. We want to thank you very much for these letters. You know, here in Hollywood, we actors get quite a few letters, even those of us who are not sweater girls. And a few of us are not. But all the fan mail in the world isn't worth one little note from one of you men out there. And apparently, you guys get the same results with a pen and pencil as you do with a B-17, because the number of stars on Command Performance tonight makes the Milky Way look like a trial blackout. Our first letter comes from Private First Class R.A.W., and he says that the gang in North Ireland can't get enough of Martha Tilton. So we say that the gal to correct that situation is Martha Tilton.
Here's the story of Private Joe. He's a fella you may not know. He's the pride of Company Q. So let me introduce him to you. Draft board called him up one day. They said, "Bud, you're on your way." So he's in the army now. Private Joe's his name. Sergeant bullied him, you see. Made him do that old KP. But they're buddies now, you see. Corporal Joe's his name. He brushed up on his military manners. He shined the general's boots. He's not the kind to wave any banners, but he's a sergeant in a new zoot suit. Went to see his Daisy Bell, just to give her his farewell. He went A-W-O-L, Private Joe's his name. What a shame, what a shame. He let love step in and change his rank again. What a shame, I said, what a shame. From a private to a corporal and a sergeant back to private again. Now Private Joe was full of ambition. He marched in every parade. He worked hard and got his commission. Now he's a captain of the 3rd Brigade. Went to see his girl again, just to say farewell again. He was A-W-O-L again, Private Joe's his name.
Thank you, Martha Tilton, and thanks to Lou Bring, who is conducting Local 47's Command Performance Orchestra tonight. Well, now, somewhere in the British Empire, last April 5th, the canteen manager on the HMS Manchester heard your program, fellows, and here's the letter he wrote that night.
To Georgie Jessel, I should like to tell you how nice it was to hear your voice again. The last time I saw you was in the Naval Hospital in Philadelphia, when you entertained us last December. I thought you might like a word of thanks from a Limey. Signed, J.H.
For Limey... for Limey, J.H., for Technical Sergeant A.W. at Howard Field, and for the host of fighting men everywhere who have commanded his return to command performance, a man whose name will always be found on marquees in the heart of American stage fans, Georgie Jessel.
Thank you. Thank you, thank you, thank you very much, and good evening, gentlemen, wherever you are. This is the second time I've appeared on your program, but this time there is an added note of gentility and charm. That is because of the presence of your very suave master of ceremonies, Bill Powell. The last time I spoke to you, gentlemen, I was introduced by Eddie Cantor, and this time by Bill Powell. What a difference in looks. And what a difference in an introduction. Mr. Cantor brought me on with this bon mot of his. He says, "Now, boys, here comes Georgie Jessel. His wife was supposed to be with him, but she can't come because she's teething." Well, this is not in the script, but she'll be able to bite people long after Cantor can't. I'll tell you that right now. I am here at this time in Los Angeles with a vaudeville show at the Biltmore Theater. And I'm very happy there. I have a lovely, nice dressing room, the second door on the right. Only trouble is people keep coming in saying, "Oh, pardon me." And, but business is good, and it's nice because, you see, vaudeville is an interesting thing. Lately, I haven't been in it. I've been appearing in the larger motion picture theaters throughout the country. And it's a very interesting thing. You do 6 shows a day. And you got to keep very mentally alert because you got to think of new stuff at every performance because you're working for the same people all day, you see. Instead of going to the mountains for the summer, they go to the balcony of the picture theater, you see. And, well, it's a nice thing because, you see, the show starts about 10 o'clock in the morning. In the first performance, the audience are not very appreciative. They are mostly men. They are the city salesmen. Yeah. They've been up about an hour. Business was rotten, so they come in the theater, put their samples under the seats, and make faces at the actors all afternoon. It hurts them because we're doing something. You know what I mean? At about the second show, which is 12 o'clock, the audience consists of children. And that's so cute, you know, how they run up and down the aisles, you know. Right in the middle of your best joke, a kid hollers, "Hey, Mama, where is it?" But I get along with them. I do, Bill, because I speak to these kids. I figure if I introduce them to each other. I figure as long as they're going to be there so long, let them play in groups together. You know what I mean? One kid was so cute. Oh, child could have been more than 5 years of age. And I got him in conversation. I said, "What is your name?" He says, "Julius." I said, "You're a good boy." He says, "Who cares?" I said, "Well, if you are a good boy, you come back and see me after the show. I'll give you my picture." He says, "Who needs it?" So I made up my mind there'd be very little, if any, dialogue with Julius. So later on in the show, I started to sing my first song. And as I did so, that little Julius, he got up and started to run up the aisle. So I called him and I said, "Hey, Julius, where are you going?" And he told me. Later, I figured out how fortunate it was I hadn't said, "Hey, Julius, what are you going to do, don't you know?" Well, I'm so happy to be out here. Really, I am. And I can't get over how much better looking that Bill is from the canter. But anyway, that's neither here or there. I love it here because there's a romantic atmosphere out here in California. Really, it is. I mean, of course, Hollywood is so much more romantic than New York. In New York, I read an ad the other day in the New York Times where it said, "Man with tire wants to meet woman with sugar," you know? And now, gentlemen, I put you back in the very, very capable hands of my friend Bill Powell and hope that within the next few months, I may be with you, perhaps listening to just such a program as this, but with much better jokes. And so, fellas, this is Georgie Jessel saluting you wherever you are.
Thank you for being with us tonight, and good night, Georgie.
Good night, Bill. I can't get over how much better looking he is than Cantor.
Well, it's very nice of George to say that I'm better looking than Eddie Cantor. But, you know, in all fairness to Eddie, I'm not really. It's just that when a man's had 5 daughters, well, it's bound to do a little something to his figure. Now, here's a mailbag wearing silver spurs, filled with letters like this one from Captains J.W. and S., ex-cowboys at Corozal, and from Private J.W.M., with that signal battalion squadron in the canal zone. And this one from Seaman ADR and KJW, St. Thomas, Virgin Isles.
"We all are just a couple of drugstore cowboys in the Navy, so we'd like to hear that real cowboy who's our favorite actor and singer and a favorite all over the good old USA. His name is Gene Autry, and we hope you can help us."
Well, boys, we all like the cut of your hats and the way you're handling those GI shooting irons. And we're mighty proud to present Movie Land's #1 cowboy, assisted by the Melody Ranch Boys and Nora Lou, in that great new tune, Jingle, jangle, jingle. Yours. The singing star, Gene Autry.
I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle. As I go riding merrily along, and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single? And that song ain't so very far from wrong. Oh, Mary Ann, oh, Mary Ann, though I'd love to stay forever, though I know I never can, cause I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle, as I go riding merrily along. And they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single? And that song ain't so very far from wrong. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle.
That jingle, jingle.
As I go riding merrily,
as I go riding merrily,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you,
and that song
single,
ain't so very far
from
home.
That song ain't so very,
oh, Sally Jane,
oh, Sally Jane,
oh, Sally Jane,
oh, Sally Jane.
Though I'd love to stay forever, this is why I can't rewind. I got spurs that jingle, jangle, jingle,
that jingle, jingle,
as I go riding merrily,
as I go riding merrily,
and they sing, oh, ain't you glad you're single?
Oh, ain't you?
And that song ain't so very far.
And that song ain't so very far.
And that song ain't so very far from wrong. So I jingle, jangle, jingle all along.
Thank you, Gene Autry. Now, by popular acclaim of hundreds of you who wrote in after the May 31st edition of Command Performance, those two glamour gals who posed for the Tiger Shark insignia on the AVG planes. That alluring pair who can switch from a clay pack to a gas mask and still look the same. Lower society's own anemic blue bloods, Brenda and Copina.
Brenda.
What is it, Copina?
Oh, isn't it wonderful about the new women's army? We ought to get into that.
You said it. Where is the recruiting station?
Well, there's one down in San Diego.
You mean way down there where all the Marines and sailors are?
Yeah. Do you know the way?
Blindfolded.
Gosh, I'm so excited. I can't wait to get into an army uniform.
Me too. With my figure, what do you think I look like, a West Pointer?
More like an Irish setter.
Oh, you're just jealous. Say, when I get in the army, I'll look wonderful in khaki.
Yeah, it'll go so well with your teeth.
Look who's talking. Miss Repulsive of 1942.
Don't change the subject. We're talking about the women's army. You knew the recruiting officer was coming this afternoon. Why weren't you home?
I had very important business over at the garage.
What were you doing?
Getting my girdle rethreaded. It cost $7.50. Do you think I got taken in?
Yeah, but not enough. After all, Brenda, you have to look trim if you're going to be in uniform.
Oh, what's so special about being in uniform?
Listen, when I get you into a smart-looking uniform, dozens of gorgeous men will be hanging around you, dying to take you out, throwing themselves at your feet. Brenda, stop drooling.
But, Copina, are you sure?
Why, certainly. If you ask me, women look just as good in uniforms as men do. Just stick me in a uniform and I'll put myself up against a man any day.
Yeah, but who will you get to hold him?
Oh, gee, Brenda, I wonder if we can stand that army life.
Gosh, I don't know. What do we have to do?
Well, I guess you march all morning, drill all afternoon, and then you wash out your clothes, and then before you go to bed, you shampoo your hair.
You mean in the army you wear the same hair every day?
Why, yes.
Why, that's not sanitary. Say, Coppino, what kind of equipment do they supply in the women's army?
Well, they give you some stockings, a slip, two nightgowns, three girdles, a bathrobe, and... in your case, they'll throw in a catcher's mask.
What for?
Oh, they don't want anything to happen to your face. They're saving it for a secret weapon.
Now, listen here, Spaniel Puss.
Don't you talk about my face. After all, I used to be a model for a commercial artist. He used to take pictures of my face all the time.
Yeah, but the only place they ever put it on was iodine bottles.
Well... anyway, it was very artistic the way they had my arms crossed under it. Oh, what do we care? What do we care as long as we keep our boyfriends happy? Say, by the way, what's happened to yours?
Which one?
Oh, you know, that cute little drafty. The fellow with the 1A body and the 4F mind.
Gosh, he's sweet. You know, the first night I met him, he gave me some expensive face powder and a bottle of perfume.
Match your belly?
I don't know. I just use it behind my ears.
Is that all he did? Is that all he did? Just give you a bottle of perfume?
I should say not. That first night he took me in his arms and kissed me. And he told me I had skin as smooth as a baby's.
A baby's what? By the way, how come you two aren't going together anymore?
Oh, I decided to give him up. After all, any girl can lose her head over a man.
Yeah, but you're the only one who looks better without it.
Now, girls, before you get into an argument, wouldn't you like to send some message to our fighting men all over the world?
Yeah. Oh, I'll say, believe me.
I'd like to say to all you fighting men and Uncle Sam's forces everywhere, to you thousands of soldiers, thousands of sailors, and just oodles of Marines, when it's all over there and you come back home, there's just one thing we want you to remember.
What is it?
Gladstone 4166.
Thank you, Brendan Cabina. There's a particular mailbag here that's all swelled up like a blimp. With letters from BCM at that submarine base in the Caribbean, from the field artillery boys at APO 855, from the American offshore bases at APO 801C, from those three pineapple soldiers at Fort Shafter, and hundreds more. But let's read just this one, from Private JJB at Fort Reed, Trinidad. Dear Command Performance, we've been looking for Minnie from Trinidad ever since we got here and can't find her. But if Judy Garland would sing Minnie from Trinidad like she did in Ziegfeld Girl, well, maybe it would smoke Minnie out of these jungles. Well, gang, here she is, Judy Garland.
I'm gonna tell you a story, and there's no moral to be made. But don't forget when you're dancing that somehow the piper must be paid. Down on an island, southern seas, there lives a lassie named Minnie Breeze, and all the natives agree that she's out of singing Trinidad. When Minnie dances, I guarantee, with every move of her vertebrae, the temperature jump up 10 degrees. In Trinidad, that isn't bad. I, they call her Minnie from Trinidad. From Trinidad, I, and all the natives would be so sad if Minnie ever left Trinidad. although the natives love Minnie so. Minnie had herself a steady bone, a fella known as Calypso Joe, and Minnie swore they'd never part. But they stepped in only as fate could. Min won a contest for dancing good, so she went away to Hollywood. When Joe heard that, it broke his heart. I, they call her Minnie from Trinidad. I, she wasn't good, but she wasn't bad. I, Calypso Joe was so very sad when Minnie up and left Trinidad. In Hollywood, Minnie traveled far. They changed her name to Minnie Lamar, and pretty soon she became a star, the siren of the picture show. But one day Minnie got awful mad. A guy got fresh and she said, "You cad, my heart belongs to my Trinidad, my Trinidad Calypso Joe." I, they call her Minnie from Trinidad. I, they all love Minnie from Trinidad. I, but there is only one native lad gets chimney with Minnie from Trinidad. So Minnie gave up her dough and fame, and she went back to from where she came. But when she got there, she heard with shame that her Calypso Joe was dead. When Minnie heard that, she almost died. She got a gun to try suicide, but as she started to shoot, she cried, "I think I'd rather live instead."
Thank you, Judy Garland. Now we answer the request of the gang who signed themselves the Boys South of the Caribbean. And those 27 leathernecks at Midway who command the appearance of a man known to millions as the dynamic fellow who steps briskly up to your front door, raises a forceful fist, and...
Hope you're all having a good time. I hope.
It's Al Pierce and his friend Elmer Blurt, the door-to-door salesman. That cuckoo is Elmer Blurt. Door-to-door sales have fallen off badly of late, so in desperation, Elmer has obtained a position as room clerk in a hotel. Good luck, Elmer.
Clerk!
Yes, sir.
Is this a Lexington hotel?
No, sir, this is the Hotel Jackknife.
Jackknife?
Yeah, it's just a dive.
Yeah, I want a nice room for a dollar, and I don't want to be bothered.
Well, for a dollar, we don't want to be bothered either. Our rooms are $5 and $10.
Yeah, what's the difference?
Well, for $5, we throw in your breakfast.
For $10?
For $10, we carry it in.
And what are your rates by the week?
I don't know. Nobody's ever stayed here a week. Oh, golly, there's somebody calling me. Room clerk speaking, hello.
This is the man in 615. I want a pitcher of ice water.
I'm sorry, mister, you'll have to wait.
Why do I have to wait?
The man in 612 is using the ice cube.
Good morning, clerk. I'm going to bed now, and I'd like to be awakened at 9:15.
Yes, sir. What room are you in?
Oh, I have not got a room. I sleep on a chair in the lobby.
Oh, that's a nice hobby, to sleep in the lobby. Oh, golly. Oh, gosh, here comes... Here comes Gosh, here comes a soldier and a lady.
Yeah.
Paying customers a hope, a hope, a hope.
Yeah, we just got married before I go overseas, and I'd like to have a nice roomsy-woomsy for me and my little ifey-wifey.
Oh, golly, newlyweds.
That's right, isn't it, lovey-dovey?
Yes. Yesy-wussy, hubby-wubby.
Yeah, well, just sign your namesy-wamesy on the bookie-wookie. I'll give you a nice roomsy-woomsy with a viewy-fooey.
Well, there you are, Mr. and Mrs. McTwiddle-Blister.
Oh, isn't that wonderful? Just 2 hours ago, I changed my name.
Yeah, you ought to change it back. But I'm glad to know you. My name is Elmer Blurt.
Oh, Mr. Blurt, marriage is such a beautiful thing. You should try it. Wouldn't you like to call some girl Mrs. Blurt?
Oh, gosh, no, I couldn't do that.
Well, why not?
That's my mother's name. Well, now follow me, and I'll show you to your rooms. I'll take one suitcase, mister, and you take the other one.
All right.
Well, what about me?
You'll have your hands full with that trunk there. Now then, we'll go up to the special room we have just for newlyweds. It's called the green room.
Well, does it have a shower?
Not since we have the roof fixed. Well, here you are.
Hey, what's the horse doing in here?
This is the bridal suite.
Well, Mr. Blurt, here's a quarter for your troubles. Good night.
Well, good night.
Ah, Rodney.
Ah, Genevieve.
At last we are alone together.
Well?
Would you like a big pitcher of ice water?
No. Good night.
Good night.
Ah, Genevieve.
Ah, Rodney.
At last we are alone together. What is it now?
How about a small pitcher of ice water?
No. No, do you hear? Good night.
Yeah, well, good night.
Ah, Rodney.
Ah, Genevieve.
I think he's gone now.
Yes, at last we are alone together.
You'll have to talk louder, I can't hear you.
Honey, I know how I'll keep him out of here. You help me pile all this furniture against the door.
All right,
now,
dear.
Now, we pull this bed over here. Yeah. Get those chairs and that chest of drawers. There we are. That'll stop him. We'll keep him out of here.
Oh, you're wonderful, Rodney.
And you're wonderful, Genevieve.
Oh, at last we really are alone.
Fire, 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 fire.
Oh, Rodney, move this stuff away from the door.
Yeah, we've got to get out of here. Oh, it's a fire. Oh, this is terrible.
Fire, fire, you've all got to hurry. Fire, fire.
Oh, wait a minute. I don't smell any smoke. Where's the fire?
Down the street. I thought maybe you folks would like to go.
Well, fellows, the minute hand on the studio clock has caught up with the hour hand, and they're both pointing at us to move along. It'll take a lot more time than we have left to tell you how much we appreciate being picked out of your family of 130 million and invited to your special party, command performance. Speaking of another kind of party, we've heard that the Japs often like to take on a load of sake. But man, what they've been taking on out there on the Pacific is sakola. And I'd also like to mention a certain party over in Germany. For a short time, this fellow Hitler was drunk on success. But now the guy is really getting plastered. So long.
That's it for now, men, but we'll be seeing you again next week. Same time, same station. Meantime, we'll be looking for the mailman, and man, you keep carrying that mail for Uncle Sam.